97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on this Thursday morning, the Mark Cox Morning Show. We are we've got a absolutely packed show for you today. And here alongside Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright, we'll get Sue Thomas in just a minute with your traffic. But man, from the 6 o'clock hour on, we are going to be loaded down with information for you. So be sure and hang around for that. We're going to get Alan Dershowitz on, the lawyer and professor. So much going on overnight. Big day at the Supreme Court. Alan can comment on some of that. We got Jim Talent, Giano Caldwell, who's of course a commentator and contributor on Fox News. Shannon Bream. We're going to get Beavis Shock in here talking about this quo warranto effort by Attorney General Andrew Bailey to get the St. Louis Sheriff out of office. So we've really got a lot going on this morning. Kim, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rundown right now, and you're right. We really do have a packed show, but it's good stuff. And it's every day. It's just you're dumbfounded by how many things go on, and it's just you never run out of different topics to discuss.
Boy, that's the truth. Here you go, Ethan. Let me give you the short list here. I, as usual, was at my desk slaving away till the very last second and came running in the studio when Ethan says, Mark! Because the music is playing at the intro to my own show, and I have to run in here and be ready to roll. So, just part of what we do, what we put on the line for you every single day here. That's good. You know, Kim, I'm going to start early this morning, and I'm going to mention this several times today. I just have to tell you, I'm going to mention this several times today, and it's very self-serving, but I'm going to say it anyway. I need help from my people. My people are my listeners. I need mechanical help. And I don't know who else to turn to. I have reached a dead end in my efforts to fix my jet ski, which is an older model that I bought a few years ago. And I can't get it to start. But because it's 20 plus years old, I don't want to invest a lot of money in it. Because I know if I take it to one of these regular marina shops, it's going to cost me $150 an hour in labor and all this stuff. It's a very simple problem. It just won't start. It turns over, it just won't start. So here's my ask for you today. If you know somebody who works on older jet skis, maybe in their part-time, or they do it in their backyard, or they're really good at it, email me. Here's what I don't want. I don't want suggestions on how I could fix it, because I have reached the limits of my mechanical abilities dealing with this SOB so far, and I'm tired of it. I want to find someone who can make my jet ski start. So if you have a name for me, Joe's Backyard Mechanics, email me down here, mark.cox at odyssey.com, mark.cox at odyssey.com, or put it on the Facebook page today, and I'm going to reach out to that person. I don't know what else to do.
I'll be curious to see if you actually get somebody.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a million pieces of advice on what else I could try to do to fix it. I've tried everything. I've replaced things in it, the regulator. I've replaced all this different stuff in the starter box. I can't get to start. So now what I need is a mechanic. So if you know one, let me know today. I'm at my wit's end on this thing, and I don't quite know where to go next. All right, that's it for the self-serving part of the show. Let's get on to some content here. Ethan, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The DIA themselves have now come out and said this was a preliminary report and this CNN story got it completely wrong. But that reporter is a sheep and she's a mouthpiece for people who don't like Donald Trump.
Yeah, the one that kind of led the lies on the Steele dossier is now claiming we didn't destroy anything in Iran. Anyway, Pete Hegseth is going to hold a news conference this morning about 7 a.m. St. Louis time, and we're going to have all the details on that for you right here.
They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak. Of course, we've all seen plenty of leakers. And what do leakers do? They have agendas. And what do? Do they share the whole information or just the part that they want to introduce?
Yeah, that's true. You got somebody leaking something They have an agenda. There's no doubt about that. And we'll find out more this morning at 7 when the defense secretary takes to the airwaves.
I wish I could yield back the last 5 minutes of my life, actually. And I want to apologize to the people of Arizona that we have somebody who's representing the folks in one of our great parts of the valley that doesn't care about the integrity of our election. So
Carrie Lake, Carrie Lake gutted a fish yesterday in Congress. I don't know how else to put it. This congressman challenged her and called her a liar. And she let go one of his deepest secrets in front of Congress, and he was speechless.
I wanted to know how he's doing. He was very nice, actually. You know, we had little rough times sometimes. He was couldn't have been nicer. I think he'd like to see an end to this. I do.
That's President Trump. Of course, he's been in the Netherlands. He's been at this NATO summit. He's been owning these members of NATO because he got them to finally agree. Now, they all have to go back and get their respective governments to agree to it, but they have tentatively agreed to increase their spending. And while he was there, he met with Volodymyr Zelensky, who somewhere between Kyiv and this meeting in the Netherlands stopped by a men's store and bought a suit. It was pretty amazing. I don't know where he went. Maybe he went to Sears and bought one. I couldn't tell what it looked like, but he did have a suit on for the first time ever. And wow. I don't know if it was to impress Trump because he got criticized for not wearing, because all he ever wears is that stupid tracksuit when he goes places. I mean, come on.
So did Zelensky call him daddy too?
I don't know. That's pretty funny, though, wasn't it?
Oh, the funniest part, too, is seeing Marco Rubio react when when the journalist from Sky News asked him about, you know, she has her little accent. She's like, what do you think about being called daddy? Do you view them, the NATO members, as your children? And Trump's trying to keep a straight face, and Marco Rubio's just losing it right behind him. Yeah. How can you not? Daddy? The head of NATO calling him daddy.
This is the thing you have to pause for a moment and just enjoy this. I mean, watching these largely left-wing, mostly very, with the exception of the Italian prime minister and maybe the Lithuanian prime minister, mostly left-wing progressive leaders in Europe, all kneel at the feet of Donald Trump, who they have badmouthed for years, who they celebrated when he left office in 2020 and loved having Joe Biden there, who they could walk all over, even direct him around at news conferences because he didn't know where the hell he was most of the time. And now they just want to be part of his world. You heard the guy yesterday, we should make NATO great again, right? They don't know what to do. You just need to savor this for a moment, because this is what we told you needed to happen. How long has it been? Raise your hand if you can answer this. How long has it been since we've had a leader in the White House who demanded the respect of European leaders? How long? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I know a lot of them got along with George H.W. Bush. I don't think a whole lot of them respected George W. Bush. It's certainly what they loved Barack Obama because he was one of them. When he went on the apology tour after he got elected and blasted America all over the world and apologized for America's strength, it was embarrassing. You got nothing better out of Joe Biden. It just got progressively worse. And now we're back on top. Now you have a strong Central American leader. And as usual, the world is falling behind them because you need that. When you're the superpower of the world, when you're the gorilla, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and you're the good guy, the United States is the good guy, you have to flex every once in a while. You do. Nobody over there has got better ideas than we do. Nobody else has got a better economy than we do, a stronger economy, a stronger military. The United States needs to be in a position of leadership. And for too long, American leaders have allowed, particularly from the European standpoint, the European Union, to walk all over us. NATO, all these crazy green peace accords all over the world, basically transferring wealth to third world nations. All of that's over now. And, you know, happy next 4 years, because I love that picture of the that screaming professor for the University of Missouri who's in every meme now with her mouth wide open, screaming up at the sky. And you put her on a time chart, 2025 to 2028. She's right up against 2025. You are here. You have four more years of this to look forward to. And I love that. Just put this in perspective and take a moment to appreciate. All right, Kim, I told you this was going to happen. I requested some help for my jet ski, and it didn't take long for what to happen that I expected to happen.
My friend
Brad said, you need to replace the framister and realign the fibrillator.
Oh, yeah, the fibrillator. Yeah, that was what I was going to say when you were telling me about it. That was my first guess.
If I had just thought of that.
Replace the wiggle womp and the zigzag.
I think it's the flux capacitor.
I actually found a company that sells jet ski parts somewhere down in near Hillsboro. And I ordered something through eBay from them. And we're convinced, my buddy and I, who does have some mechanical ability, after testing it and testing the ohms and all that, that's what the problem was, and it still won't start. So I've spent $35 on it right now. I'm that deep in, maybe a few more dollars if you count the new spark plugs. But beyond that, I can't figure out why this thing won't start. So if you know somebody who's a shade tree mechanic who can fix two-cycle jet skis, Yamaha 750 or Kawasaki 750, let me know. And I'm open to suggestions right now. Feel free to email me or comment on the Facebook page this morning and kind of give me a little bit of help. Did you see any of the testimony in Congress yesterday? We always can depend on our friend John Kennedy. They were having a debate over public broadcasting. This is the one where you had Kerry Lake in there commenting on why we need to defund PBS, and specifically she was talking about the Voice of America. That's one of the things they're trying to trim as well, which, you know, sounds all patriotic, and we broadcast the Voice of America around the world. And then we find out there are not only zero limits on it, even congressmen have no control over what goes out over the VOA. They can spread lies, they can spread anything they want, and nobody can question them. And now Trump and Kerry Lake are saying it's time to defund this. This was our friend John Kennedy yesterday during this hearing asking a pretty simple question.
Do we give money to Fox?
No.
Do we give money to Politico?
No.
Then why are we giving money to public broadcasting? Why? We're $36 trillion in the hole.
Why? Why are we giving money to public broadcasting?
He makes a good point.
He does make a good point. If it's commercial, see, that's the point. They know, the people that support public broadcasting know it's not commercially viable. Or they're afraid to experiment and find out if it's commercially viable. They are. Air America failed in this country for a reason. Not because of mismanagement, right? It failed because they put every screaming lib, Rachel Maddow, all these crazies on their radio station, and they syndicated it, and they thought it would be a big hit, and it failed miserably. They didn't get the financial support they needed to support that network. Why is that? It's really simple. I've talked about it on here before. It's because you don't need a liberal radio talk show, because you can just watch the mainstream media. They're the mouthpiece for the left in this country. They are. The reason Rush Limbaugh burst onto the scene in the 80s and was such a roaring success was you weren't hearing those common sense views on what was going on in the world anywhere else. And of course, they all labeled him as some sort of, you know, hard right winger and blah, 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 blah. The problem was he was right all along. He wasn't hard right. He was right all along. And that was a hit home with millions of Americans who like, wait a minute, this guy's saying makes perfect sense to me. I see these things with my own eyes, and the media tells me that it's not what I think it is. But it was, and it is, and Rush Limbaugh called out the whole identity politics thing long before anybody recognized it. He's like, this is what the left is trying to do, and we need to stop it now. And, of course, it's all out of control. Got completely out of whack over the whole thing. So I'll get to more of this Carrie Lake stuff coming up because she eviscerated a Arizona congressman yesterday in front of everyone, and he was gap-jawed when it happened. We'll get to Kim on a whim coming up. Stay tuned.
We're about to launch one of the biggest advertising campaigns in HHS history to encourage Americans to use wearables. It's a way of people can take control over their own health. They can take responsibility. They can see, as you know, what food is doing to their glucose levels, their heart rates, and a number of other metrics as they eat it. And they can begin to make good judgments about their diet, about their physical activity, about the way that they live their lives. We think that wearables are a key to the MAHA agenda, making America healthy again. And we are going to, my vision is that every American is wearing a wearable within 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea what RFK Jr. there is suggesting, which is to have every American within 4 years wearing one of those wearable devices. So whether it be a smartwatch, a fitness tracker like the Apple Watches, or they're called the Aura Rings or something like that. I know those are really popular. They would essentially monitor your heart rate, your blood pressure, your glucose levels. I see value in that. I think it's going to be a hard sell. In fact, there's many people online who are saying, you know, I tried wearing one of those little fitness trackers on my wrist and it ended up leading to some sort of a rash. And they became very, very addicted to kind of like a cell phone with social media where you realize you're checking it nonstop. And people said it was so addicting that they actually didn't want it anymore.
Hell no.
The other thing people are saying is I'm worried this will allow them to track me. Yeah, I don't think it's going to track
Americans
people.
Are not going to do that. You can make your best recommendation. You know what? If it's the government's recommendation that you don't smoke, there you have it. The people that are going to keep smoking are going to keep smoking. If it's the government's recommendation that you get a fitness tracker of some sort, it doesn't have to. It can be a Garmin. It doesn't have to be an Apple Watch that's $400 or $500. Then, if that's what you want to do, do it. RFK is not going to be able to force every American to wear one of those things.
But I don't think he's forcing everybody because that would be ridiculous.
Didn't he say that was his goal?
That's his goal. But there's no way he's going to say, "All right, line up. You have to be here by this time and this date." I'm going to glue this watch to your wrist. You cannot take it off. There's no way that would ever stand.
No.
But just to make the suggestion of, hey, this would be a really good idea. I think it's the idea that. It's the notion that this is something we probably should care more about than we do right now because we've had such a sharp increase in chronic diseases. And it's not just among the older populations. It's among kids. Kids at a very young age are developing these chronic issues. And it's causing more problems as they become adults. And it's very, very expensive.
Right.
And we already spend so much money, astronomical amounts of money, in the health industry, and yet we're so, so sick as a nation.
Well, he's on the right track. I like a lot of what he's doing. I mean, I think that you can get a little overboard with it when it comes to tracking people's health. Some of those things are beneficial. I mean, I know a lot of people who are always focused on how many steps they've done today. I'm worried about how many steps I've made from here to the coffee maker in the morning. That's about it. I need to be more aware of those things. It doesn't hurt to talk about them. There are important issues that they're dealing with up there. For example, let me see if I got my audio turned off here. Here we go. This is what RFK said yesterday during this hearing, and these are the kinds of things that people need to pay attention to.
The United States remains the sickest developed nation, and yet we spend $4.5 trillion annually on health care, 2 to 3 times more per capita to comparable nations. Clearly, something is structurally wrong with our approach. Furthermore, health care costs are steadily increasing at a rate of 2% greater than the economy. This is unsustainable.
He's right. Think about that. It's like the argument we got into the other day with some of the people on the Facebook page about education spending. The city of St. Louis spends double what a lot of districts do, and their results suck. It's not about how much money you spend on it. It's about how you carry it out, right? It's about what your policies are and what your curriculum is. And say it's the same with the approach on healthcare.
Well, I think a lot of it is because we're so over-medicated. In many cases, you have to take medication. There's just no way around it. You need to have something to at least serve as a crutch temporarily. In some cases, there might be a particular disease you deal with where you just unfortunately will have to remain on medication the rest of your life, which I 100% would support. However, I think the bigger issue is that we're not getting to the root cause of many of these chronic issues. We're not addressing food that we're taking in. We're not addressing the chemicals that we're exposed to. And I'm not pretending like I'm so great at watching every single thing that I eat. I've been more particular about it recently, but I still wish I were better at saying, okay, I need to read every single ingredient and all the things, but it gets kind of overwhelming for me.
Sure.
It's very time consuming. It's very expensive. And I know that they're making changes. A lot of these companies are taking the food dyes out, like Kraft, or I think it was, or Heinz. I can't even keep track.
Heinz.
Many of these companies are agreeing to do it. Now they are being forced technically to at least remove some of the dyes, I believe by 2027, but many of them are just saying, hey, I'll just go ahead and remove all of the dyes because likely they'll be forced to at some point, depending on, I guess, who's in office after Trump.
We talked about this the other day, and then I had a conversation with somebody who just got back from Europe, and it was an extended vacation, right? Like 3 weeks. This was like the big trip. And the conversation was, when I left here, my allergies were like killing me. I was on a daily allergy pill. Went to Europe for 3 weeks and my symptoms disappeared. Now, it could be that you're here and there's an environmental issue for you here, yard clippings or something, and they don't have some of that same problem wherever you were in France, that same type of pine or whatever that's affecting your allergies. Or it could be that they just do things differently with the food system over there, and that's what caused some of her symptoms to go away. And I think that's something they have to take a hard look at, and it seems to me that RFK Jr. is doing that.
Right, and I think there's some pushback from the medical community because that means if people get healthier, they might not need as many drugs.
Boom.
And that's how they make, not all, but a lot of their money. So you have to, I always say, follow the money. You know, there are some people who have bad intentions when it comes to health as far as they need you to stay sick. This is certainly not all doctors. There's phenomenal doctors out there. We need doctors. We need medication. We need a lot of these things. But we have been so overprescribed medicine and people are so addicted. You have people who have surgeries, have never been addicted to a drug before. They're prescribed an opioid to help with pain relief that is needed in that particular situation because they're in extraordinary pain as they recover. Well, then here you have somebody who is addicted, right? And then they're selling and it just kind of spirals from there. So I really think that at least we have the right, I believe, leader in place. RFK Jr., I believe, is 100% the right person in that position. And he's going to keep trying to get the ball rolling in a better direction than it has been. Because we've been going downhill for many, 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 many years.
It's true. And when they talked about a ban on pharmaceutical ads.
Oh, see, I would love that.
It sent a shiver through commercial broadcasting because it would be no different than it would be for this radio station because you'll hear ads on here occasionally for certain drugs. Hell, they were advertising for the COVID vaccine for a while.
Oh, yeah.
These big companies, because, you know, it's a commercial radio station And if they come knocking on the door with a bunch of money, just like any politician, whether we agree with them or not, if they've got enough money to buy the ad time, they can run an ad on a commercial radio station or a commercial TV station. They were talking about limiting the kind of ads pharmaceutical companies could air. So you're not seeing that that one ad for I don't know what it is for people that are overweight. That's where they're dancing down the street. I've seen that ad over and over and over again. It would eliminate those.
And it sounds crazy to us because we're so used to hearing on the radio or seeing on TV so many of these ads.
Right.
But it's really not that crazy considering we're one of the only countries. In fact, I think we're one of two countries in the world that allows these types of advertisements. Many of these companies or countries, rather, they ban it. They're not allowed to do that.
There's a much broader issue here, and I heard RFK bring it up the other day, and that is this issue of controlling drug prices. And I have a little bit of an issue with it. I just have to say, whatever the problem, whatever the reasons are that drugs are cheaper in Europe, is partially political and partially the fault of the pharmaceutical companies forever agreeing to it, because they could subsidize the cost of drugs overseas because they could pretty much charge whatever they wanted in the United States, or they could charge the full cost of the drug in the United States for the R&D and all of that. And therefore, to get into these foreign markets, they were willing to sell the drugs at a cheaper price. And now you've got the president and RFK saying, well, we're going to do most favored nation status, and we're going to force them to sell it here for the same price they sell it there. Well, that's not going to work. It's not going to work in a capitalist society. They can't keep producing the best drugs in the world if they can't afford to do the R&D on them. So at some point, there's got to be a compromise there. You can't just say that drug is $70 a month in Israel and it's $7,000 a month in the U.S. and you're going to have to match the $70 a month that Israel is getting. That's not going to work. The costs are going to have to go up overseas, or those people aren't going to be able to afford the drugs.
Well, that's the problem here,
and they can't cut them to $70 here because they wouldn't be able to afford the R&D it took to produce them.
I get your point, and I agree to an extent, and I just don't know what the solution is, because I don't know that it's to force them to lower them here, but at some point, people can't even afford the drug.
No,
like, you're making all of these things, but then if people can't afford to even get it and use it, what good does it do?
Well,
so
again,
that's the only, I don't know what the solution is, and I don't make the big money to
want
be
big
in that
government.
Position to solve that problem.
I'm not sure I want big government making those decisions at the end of the day, but we'll talk more about that. A quick break here. Kim, did you feel a sense of pride as you drove into work this morning?
I had to think about that for a second. As I was having to constantly reroute to make sure I could get to the office, I felt a lack of pride. Yeah,
I understand that, because much of downtown is blocked off right now due to the Pride festivities that are taking place this weekend. And meanwhile, an amazing thing happened yesterday with some Atlanta teens facing charges for hate crimes, for something they did. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a minute. Stay tuned. So they're having Pride Fest this weekend in downtown St. Louis. The area around our radio station is currently blocked off. Like, all of the streets from 12th Street down here to the west, all the way up to the soccer stadium, are blocked off. Like the streets between Olive and Market Street, all the side streets are blocked off with the blockades this morning, because they're getting ready to bring in the tents and everything else they're going to do for Pride Fest. And okay, that's fine. Everybody has their, if it was just one weekend, I guess it wouldn't bother me so much as the fact that we have a month set aside in this country to celebrate LGBTQXYZLMNOP stuff, but we have to take one day, maybe one day, to celebrate presidents like George Washington or Abraham
Veterans.
Lincoln. Or veterans.
Or moms,
all of
or
this
dads.
Other. One day, but for Pride, we get a home. Okay, whatever. If you're feeling that bad about yourself, take your month, whatever. I'm just glad I won't be in town this weekend for that mess, but that's okay. I will not have to deal with it if you choose to subject yourself to that. Good luck to you. This is what sticks in my craw. We had a conversation on this show the other day, Kim, about whether or not, I think it was it Josh Hawley who introduced the bill to ban the burning of the American flag.
He wants to criminalize it, and they actually think you should be, I guess, was it 1 year in prison they think you should be potentially having to serve if you burn an American flag?
I think there was a prison term associated with it. And a lot of people screamed, free speech, we should be able to burn the American flag if we want. So, you know, it pisses me off when I see people in L.A. who don't want to go back to Mexico waving American flags around while they burn the American flag protesting the fact that criminal investigators of ICE are rounding up some of their illegal counterparts and trying to send them back to Mexico. Now, they seem to like Mexico because they're waving the American flag, or the Mexican flag. They're burning the American flag. I want to throat punch those people. Do you understand that? It offends me to watch that. I also understand they have a First Amendment right to express their opinion. And until they get violent with me, okay, we can have that debate about whether that's okay or not. But what happened in Atlanta right now really, really, really goes over the line. Here's what you need to know. Some Atlanta teens ages 16 to 18 are now, the hunt is on, there's a manhunt underway for them facing hate crime charges and prison time because they, wait for it, vandalized a pride flag in Atlanta, Georgia. The Atlanta Police Department is looking for two other teenagers. Apparently, they found two of them. They're looking for two more because they tore up LGBTQ flags in Atlanta, Georgia. And instead of just charging them with vandalism, remember, in the state of Missouri now, apparently you can vandalize somebody's car with hateful stickers because you don't like the guy that built the car, and you might get your wrist slapped. You won't even get a vandalism charge. In Kirkwood, all they got was harassment or something like that. In Atlanta, they're looking at hate crime charges against the people who burned the pride flag in Midtown with a hate crime. And I don't even know if they burned it. They just tore them up.
They were ripping it up.
Right? They ripped them down. There were videos and photos of them cutting up the flags with a knife.
The hate crime charge is really ridiculous because here's what I've said about American flags. I disagree with Holly. I don't think you should have to face jail time for burning the American flag. As much as I hate it, I do think it is freedom of speech, but you should also be able to burn a pride flag and be covered.
Now, should that be freedom of speech? Why is that a hate crime?
The only difference is if, say, a business has an American flag, you rip that down, or a business has a pride flag and you rip that down. That, I see, is vandalism because it's somebody's property.
Well,
you're
but charge them with vandalism.
Right. That's why I'm saying the hate crime goes way too far in this case.
You can burn the American flag in the streets of L.A. during an anti-ICE protest and nothing happens to you. And you can just about murder somebody here. I mean, it's just crazy.
Get more at 971talk.com.